Welcome to Your Ultimate Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hey there. Welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life. This is episode 864, and I title this one Self-Leadership, or Would You Follow Yourself as a Leader? It's a really maybe obvious question, but it's really important. And I really think most people don't actually think about the answer. Now, I've used as a background this desert picture, and I hope you're watching the video, of a, you know, it looks like some kind of a warrior walking off in the desert, and it's very orange and looks like a lot of sand and looks like he could be pretty, you know, a pretty tough hike. And so I used that for this self-leadership episode 864, because I want to ask you to think about that. You know, I did an episode a little while ago on leadership and what it takes to lead. And the only kind of leadership that matters to start with is self-leadership. And I just framed it with the question, would you follow yourself? And the answer is yes, always, because you are. But often, if you thought about it and you were someone else, the answer is really no. And here's how you can tell. If you're always looking for someone else to approve, agree with, or lead you in some way, then no, you wouldn't follow yourself, because you're not. Now, you might disagree and you think I'm crazy, but I want you to think about this for a minute, because this is actually really important. You and I, we each create our lives one decision at a time. One thought at a time, one feeling at a time, one choice at a time. And every day you probably make 1,000 or 2,000, or I don't know, if you break them small enough, 20,000 choices. Now, you know also what it's like to follow someone who makes you feel confident, capable, powerful, who feels like, you know, they're going to lead you somewhere safe, like they know what they're doing. I have had leaders like that, and I've felt good about following them. And it turns down the noise, the chatter in my head, because I say to myself, I'm following this. I'm going. I've decided to go, and I feel comfortable with it. And that gets in. That gets rid of the second guessing. How come it's this hard? Why did it go here? Oh, no, it shouldn't be like this. What do they even know what they're doing? It gets rid of that. Now, there aren't very many people. In fact, there's only one that I would follow without question, and that is the divine God. And the only thing I do in connection with following inspiration or intuition is just be quiet and still long enough and often enough to make sure that I'm certain I'm doing and following an inspiration, and I'm not on some crazy, you know, personal mission or something that I just want to do for me, and I haven't talked myself into this or that. But I'm not talking about that kind of thing. As a leader, how many people do you lead right now? Maybe you have a team. You know, there's been times in my career when I had hundreds of people that were, you know, I've never had thousands, but I have had hundreds who were, I was directly responsible for through several leadership layers, and I was the leader. And I knew that, and I took that responsibility very seriously. So in self-leadership, I want to talk about what it is, why it matters, and how to get good at it, okay? What it is a determination to be the kind of leader that you really would follow. Now, that requires a degree of honesty that perhaps we don't normally live with, and it requires a degree of introspection and self-reflection that might feel really difficult sometimes. Because if you, I'm going to take all these examples from myself, because I don't want to say anything about you who are listening, because I don't know enough about you to say this. There have been times when I have fooled myself, acted like I knew what I was doing, and what I was doing was okay, when a good part of me knew that it wasn't, or knew that I was being unwise or selfish or unkind or taking risks that really weren't warranted and so forth. But I did them anyway. If I looked at someone else doing that, it would be unlikely that I would follow that. And I know you know exactly what I mean. So self-leadership is an ability to separate yourself from yourself. In other words, be the observer, stand outside and look at what you're doing. Look at why you're doing it. What are your motivations? What are the desires that are driving this thing? So, for example, if you have followed a leader and everything that they do, or nearly everything, feels like they're only doing what's good for them, what's in it for them, what's in it for them, and they're either using everyone around them for their own work, or their own needs or their own desires or whatever they want, that kind of followership gets old really quickly. And then it's not very interesting and likely doesn't feel safe because you have the sense that they're only in it for themselves. Well, if you're not comfortable following someone that acts like that, then if you're acting like that, you wouldn't follow you. And that might seem contradictory, because if I'm only doing stuff that's good for me, what's good for me, my position, my money, whether I look good or not, doesn't matter who I hurt or whatever. If I'm being that kind of a person, then I am following me, but it's very distasteful, and that causes this internal conflict. And sometimes we're really good at hiding the internal conflict. Often we hide fears, we're afraid of something, and we beat it down, or we pretend we're not. We might be being completely absorbed for our own interests, like what makes me look good, when truthfully we're hiding imposter syndrome, and I hope nobody finds out, and I hope nobody knows what's really going on, that kind of conversation. And I certainly am familiar with both of those and other flavors of that poison. If you step back from you as just an observer, and you look at a day or a week's worth of what you say, who you talk to, and how you talk to them, the real motivations behind any interaction, and you honestly sort of assess your outcome frame, your desires, your motives, your behavior, the attitude you have, is it pleasing? Is it truthful? Is it transparent? Now, those can be really difficult questions to answer. I know, because they were for me. When I first started after 2007 on this journey of self-discovery and real self-improvement, it was terrifying, because I had lived for a long time hiding from myself. I remember saying to myself one day in my study, 2006 and 7, several times, I don't even know who I am, because everything I was doing was for show, was to get another promotion, was to make more money, was to look important. In small ways and big ways, but sometimes just, you know, that. And that's where I found my value and my meaning. Now, when I step back and look at that today, or even then as I was working on it, it was scary and it was sad and it was heartbreaking. And I was sometimes alternated between angry and ashamed and a bunch of other things. I looked at that and thought, I would never follow a person that I knew was doing that, yet here I was doing it to myself. So the first piece of self-leadership is simply to separate, step back, and be an observer of your own life. Pick a day, pick a week, and just analyze. And it doesn't take a big, long analysis, but just, why are you doing things? Are you doing things for good and true reasons? Are you doing things out of love? Are you doing things to lift and bless people around you? Yes, you need to take care of yourself. You've got to put your own oxygen mask on first. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But often we're doing far more than that. We're making sure we get all we want. I got mine, and everybody else can have the leftovers. Well, if you run a world like that, it's a terrible place to live. And ultimately, you are not going to be happy with that. You end up lonely and sad and broken. I know, because I did that. I walked that road. So separating yourself and analyzing the truth about why you do what you do and who you are being, selfless or selfish, kind or unkind, transparent or, I'm going to use a funny word, obfuscatory, meaning are you hiding with camouflage and stuff like that. I used to do that, and that's why I put in my PTAC, my document, a statement that says, I am my word. I do what I say, I am who I seem, with no camouflage, duplicity, or guile. And I put all that language in there because it was really important to me. And of course, that document is just my commitment, my manifesto with God. And that, with no camouflage, duplicity, or guile, would really, was really, is really important to me every minute of the day, because I want now to be transparent and clear so that there's nothing I need to hide about either what I'm doing or my motives for doing it. And that, for a long time, was a terrifying abyss or chasm for me. So that's the first thing. Step back and look at who you're being and be honest about it. Now, the second step is, now that you see who you're being, be truthful about it. Is this who you want? Is this who you want to be? If you were to list characteristics of a good or successful or charismatic or person that you want to follow, would they have those characteristics? Would they be behaving in that way? Well, for me, the answer certainly was no, 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 and no. In fact, in many cases, it was the opposite. And so I had to take real stock about it. And one of the things I had to learn to do, and I'm offering this to you as a suggestion, is to do this with a much, with a nice voice, with kindness, with compassion. When I first started this, I did it with a bitter voice, an angry voice. How dare you? How dare you be so rotten? How dare you be so selfish? How dare you be so unkind? How could you say that? Why did you do that? And, you know, filled the air and my soul with poison, berating, and negative thoughts. And the idea, I think, was kind of like, if I scream at myself loud enough, maybe I'll shape up. Kind of thing. I'm going to embarrass myself or shame myself into some different kind of behavior, different kind of attitudes, different kind of, you know, style and everything else. It doesn't work. Shame and anger and, you know, beating people up physically or spiritually, emotionally, that doesn't produce real change. Real change only comes from one place. It comes from love. That's it. And that was a lesson that was hard for me to learn because I was so buried in layers of other things, fear, embarrassment, shame, force of one kind or another, right? And so when you think about self-leadership and you take stock of who you are and why you're doing what you're doing, then you have to compare it, say, is this who I want to be? This kind of exercise is one of the first things you do if you're going to create a document like your own personal truth document, a PTAC. And anyone who is like creating a PTAC is hard work. It is demanding. It is deep. It is powerful. It requires honesty at a level that nothing else requires. And so unless you really, really want to do it, you won't, or if you do, it'll be superficial and won't be successful. But if you really want to create a defining constitution for yourself, that's a contract between you and the universe, you and God, it's the most powerful thing you can possibly do. Because after you have that, then there is no hiding. There is no screaming or yelling or berating either, but there's no hiding. Things get really clear. You know who you are because you've decided that. And you've committed to that. Now, one of the reasons this is really difficult to do is because if you're like me at all, there's layers and layers of layers of what I'm supposed to be like, who I'm supposed to model, what I'm supposed to think, what I'm supposed to believe, how I'm supposed to act, how I'm supposed to treat people, and supposed to, layered on by, you know, society or by parents or family or religion or whatever it is. Layer after layer after layer, and even venturing outside those lines sometimes feels like you're already wrong, you're doing something bad. You'll never create a constitution, a personal truth document that means anything until you throw all the lines away and you then decide who you want to be. And certainly all your experiences and all the things you've been taught, nicely or cruelly, doesn't matter, will come into play and you'll say, is that who I want to be? So that is such a powerful place. So after you look at who you're being, then you decide, is that who I want to be? Another real important piece of this is consistency. When I used to have a a belief that went like this. You know, there's this saying, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. Now, I'm sure you've heard that phrase, that saying before. I certainly had. And I had even said it, but I disagreed. I disagreed with myself even. I thought, no, because I could think of real examples, many in my life, where some things I tried a lot harder at. So this is, no, I put a lot more effort in here, and things over here, they're just not that important. And so I don't really try there. And I had a real dichotomy, a real split, where I argued with that and said, no, I don't. The way I do one thing isn't the way I do everything. No, that's not a true principle. I've now changed my mind, and it really is, because when I examined further into that conversation, what it turned out to be, at least for me, was when I put a lot more effort into something, and it was true. So the part that was true is I put a lot more effort into some things than others. That was true. But the reason it was true is because there was going to be the judgment of others. Someone was going to see it and approve it. So in other words, what I was doing was still working for the approval of some other person or some other standard or even some measure of myself. And when I didn't care what I thought of myself, then I just did it with poor effort. And then I realized that the entire framework was false. The entire framework was about proving something to somebody, whether it was myself or someone else. And I thought, oh man, that means, could mean, I'm living my life, all of it, or almost all of it, it's all about trying to prove something. And then I wondered why I resented myself and others and all of those things so much. And for me, the answer was I was trying to prove something all the time, trying to prove that I'm good enough, trying to prove that I'm okay, trying to prove this, prove that. And it was exhausting. It was an exhausting, unfriendly, unhappy, unkind way to live. So that's all changed now. And now I'm way back to where I started, which is the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. If you are a person committed to excellence, then you do good. You do an excellent job with everything that you do. Now, a nuance that I had to learn in my own work for self-leadership is that you do intentionally decide how much time you're going to spend on any given project. So you can decide, I'm going to do absolutely the very best that I can in 10 minutes on this project. And that doesn't mean if I spent 3 hours on it, I wouldn't do it. I don't even know better, but more of it. So you have the total sovereign ability to allocate your time, attention, and love. But the key for me is I am a person of excellence. And making that choice made a huge difference for me because I no longer had to think, am I going to do a good job or just enough to get by? I don't have to think that. I'm a person of excellence. I do excellent work all the time. And I know based on all the responsibilities I have 15 minutes to finish this. And I'm going to do every single thing I can in 15 minutes on this. And then that is excellence in 15-minute packages, so to speak. So that doesn't mean you spend the same amount of energy on everything. So that was another distinction that I needed to learn and understand in order to create the truth that I believe in excellence and I create excellence. All right. So the reason I'm making this episode is because our ability, yours and mine, to step outside of ourselves and observe what we're doing, why we're doing it, and then make an assessment. Am I satisfied with that? Am I satisfied being a person who is acting and living my life with that set of motivations? Selfishness, how I look, how much is in it for me, you know, what other people think of me. All of those are external based, and I'm now in a place where none of that is in my equation. None of it is in my equation. And to help me with that, I put statements in my own personal constitution, like I live each day to be, I am that I live to be an instrument or to work as an instrument in divine hands with no desire for glory, and no fear of rejection, ridicule, or humiliation. Now, that was a tough pill for me to swallow because so much of my life was, you know, based on needing affirmation from outside. And so I started with that sentence and it scared me to death. And now I live into that fully. And what that does is it completely frees me because it's combined with all the other statements in my own personal constitution that says, I'm here to love and create and serve. I'm offering you this thought, this podcast episode on how to lead yourself, coming from my own experience and the change that I went from everything being about me and what I looked like and what I had and what I could get and what people thought of me to a place where the only thing I'm worried about is how can I serve and who can I help? And that is a complete change for me. But what else it's done for me is it's freed up my creative energy. Because when I was burdened with the idea that I'm worried about judgment, somebody else's judgment, my own judgment, people liking me or wanting me to, you know, all of those kinds of things that we're all familiar with, when that was a big piece or any piece of the equation, I was not able to be fully creative. I wasn't able to put my heart and soul in something because I was afraid somebody was going to judge it and find me wanting. Well, that was a terrible load to carry. And discarding it allows me to do several things. One, to live all the time in inspiration, intuition, if you will, and then just act from that intuition and do the very best that I can because I believe in excellence. So this all fits together because remember, the idea is self-leadership. Would you follow you? Well, if I look at a person who is doing the very best they can to be inspired, lead by intuition, whose guiding principles is to love and lift and bless everyone around them and to do what they can for service, who is driven by a desire for excellence, who looks out for those that they're working with and takes the time and effort to lift and love and help and serve them, you bet I want to follow that. I want to follow that. I want to be part of it. I want to be in the energy of that. And by defining for myself what kind of person I would gladly follow to the gates of hell, that's some of the way that that was defined. And I said, okay, I'm going to be that because I want to be a person that I would follow. My goal is to make as much out of the gifts and talents and opportunities that I have, the gifts that my creator gave me. And I invite you to do the same because my only mission today, after all that other kind of life that I live, my only mission today is to help you live your ultimate life, help you figure out what your gifts are, help you decide how you want to love and serve the world, how you want to make money doing it, how you want to create a life that is wealthy, healthy, and happy by serving with your gifts. And, you know, you can think, well, I can't make money doing that. Yes, you can. And here's the fun part. When you make a business out of loving and serving with the gifts and talents you have, and you do it always with the idea of blessing those around you, there's never anything to hide. There's never anything to be ashamed of. There's never anything to wish people didn't know. There's never anything you hope people don't find out. And having lived on the other side of that fence where half the stuff that was going on in my life, I didn't want people to know. And half the things I did were embarrassing or selfish or unkind. And I had habits like that. And now changing completely, it is the lightest and happiest I have ever been and can even imagine being. I wake up every day excited about life. I wake up every day excited to follow my own leadership because my leadership is from inspiration, from the divine. I connect with the divine through meditation. I intentionally set goals that are lofty and loving, that always include joy, my wife and business partner, every one of my clients, you, whoever watches this podcast. Like, those are my intentions. And I absolutely plan on how can I build a business? How can I sell more books and fill programs and do things? Because every one of those is designed to do good, be good, and lift and bless others. And so I've talked before about the morning ritual. And this is how I set myself up to lead every day. I connect spiritually, and that is meditation and prayer and sacred literature and so forth, and reading, reciting, living into that personal truth document. I wake up and rev up physically because this container of mine, my body, now mine's busted these days. I've got back pain and, you know, one of my legs is hurt and all this and that and the other, but I don't care. I love each piece of my life, and I'm doing the best I can with everything that is. And then there's the emotional preparation, which is relationships, messages of love and kindness. I had the opportunity today to be in the youth program at church. I'm recording this on a Sunday, and be with, you know, some young men in our ward, and ward is the sort of geographical church area, be with the young men and watch one of them teach the lesson to the class. And it was amazing. He was well prepared and he did a really good job. And I got to support him in that effort. Here's what I notice in this self-leadership game. If I first decide who I would love to follow, what are their characteristics? And then I assess my performance and activity and intentions against that, it gives me a standard against which to measure myself. The key for me was to do that measurement for information and not for punishment, which I used to do. Okay, here's where I am and here's where I want to go. Now you can start that today. And I would offer you an invitation to do that. Not because you're not okay where you are, you're perfect where you are. But we all yearn to grow. We are built to love and serve. We are yearning to expand and to make more out of life. Not just more substance and more money, but more experiences and more kindness and more friendship and more love, more growth. All those things are built into our nature. And when we can create them, and you can, so that there's nothing to hide and no regrets, and you're doing it for love and kindness, then you are absolutely the person that you would want to follow and that others will want to follow. What I notice is when I'm around someone who is acting in love, when I'm around someone who is obviously thinking of others and creating, adding good to the world is the phrase I always use. When I'm around somebody like that, I want to be around them more. I don't want to be part of what they're part of. And I want to help. And I want to, you know, participate. So I offer that to you today in this episode as some thoughts. Are you the person you want to follow? It doesn't matter if you are or aren't. Are you working in that direction? Are you measuring it? Are you seeing what you can change? Are you kind to yourself? You know, one of the best things about following a good leader is when you make mistakes, they don't rip your face off. They give direction and they help you fix stuff. I love that about leaders, and I've had leaders like that. No, let's fix it. Here's this, that, and the other, and then let's not make that mistake again. That kind of leadership, that breeds loyalty like crazy. And that is such a powerful characteristic. So this is some thoughts today, and I invite you to consider where you are on your leadership journey. Self-leadership is first. Self-leadership is fundamental. Self-leadership is most important. I don't care how many people you have reporting to you, how big your team is. You cannot be as effective in any leadership capacity if you do not lead yourself well, if you are not aware of and intentional about how you show up for yourself. Put your own oxygen mask on first. Love yourself fiercely. Own yourself fiercely and furiously with love. And if you find things you want to change, then set about changing them right now with love, with kindness, and with lifting and blessing and work. Do the work. Do the work. There is no substitute for effort, and there's also no substitute for love and forgiveness. All these things I share with you from my own journey through the what for me was rocky and crawling over broken glass to get to a place where I do love myself. I love my opportunities and I love my life. And I get to live this kind of life that is joyful. And I call it the ultimate life. But it's not exclusive to me. I can promise you, you can have that. And if there's something I can do, I'd love to chat. Reach out and let's talk, because the only thing I do is make podcasts, write books, do music, coach people. But the purpose of all of it is to help you realize that you're divine, you're capable, you have infinite possibility, and there's nothing stopping you from creating your ultimate life. Open your
heart and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your